Thanks, Joan and Chris. Thank you, Daniela. I enlarged my fonts to 14 to be able to read it, and you're reading off a phone. Anyhow, I'm going to be reading from my most recent book of poetry, which seems kind of timely. It's called Living in a Red State Blues. Came out during the pandemic, and you know, a lot of people didn't want to touch it. You couldn't go to readings because we have good people on both sides. Anyhow, this is one of the title poems. It's called Living in a Red State Blues Part 2. And it starts with an epigraph from Bob Dylan. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight. I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. My chapped lips kiss the wind while they mouth the words to a ballad that's been camped out in my head for the last 100 miles. A gravelly voice grinding down the pretext that we are all in this together, that we are all brothers on the road. After a pit stop at a gas and go in Nowhereville, it was easy to see the drawn lines drifting apart, frayed threads of a flag shredding in the wind. Other bikers, day workers, a family on the way to or from church, strangers sharing friendly nods, a wave, warm regards, all fade to wariness when they see me pull a mask from my pocket, hang it from my ears to cover my nose and mouth as I walk to the door. I am now other, an enemy in this state of mind where anyone who doesn't echo prominent preconceptions and misconceptions can't be trusted, can't be one of us. The bard's words keep rolling to the hum of my tires on asphalt, hypocrisy becoming clearer. With each two-finger salute to a passing biker who is hidden behind a helmet or dark glasses and a neck gaiter. We're all so full of shit. The church guy in his black Lexus keeps a MAGA hat in the back seat for special occasions. His wife wears her flowery polyester dresses prim and proper for an hour on Sundays, is bound to him tight in this way of life, but keeps a little black skirt in the closet because you never know when a tempest may come and blow it all away. Well, you're very forgiving for all that tripping. This next one's called Anachronism. By the way, my father's buried a few blocks down in Allegheny Cemetery. I mention that because he's mentioned here. My father decided to check out at the right time. He would have hated living now, in this era where truth is a Bitcoin with no anchor or measurable value. He was an Eisenhower Republican, a sailor at the end of the last great war, a student of history until his vision hindered his ability to read. No more papers or magazines. But he could smell the festering load of elephant dung before the red wave arrived, metastasized, permeated the air with a haze of corruption. I see him now in my youngest brother, escaping to the safety of 60s sitcoms, the white noise of laugh tracks whispering in the background of work-from-home days. Some people find comfort in the past, I guess. Comfort also in a quick exit stage left when the right has been obstructed, lost in the cloud of outer limits screen snow. This one's called Neoconservatives. I'm probably going to have to change a word in this eventually. It's like bursting in on Grandma and Grandpa doing the nasty, two octogenarians wriggling against each other on the living room sofa, clothes, glasses, and canes strewn to places their hands can't reach when the action is over. You stand transfixed by the moment, the awkwardness of it all, arthritic fingers flapping for handholds on wrinkled flesh. Grandma's eyes glazed open like prey in a leopard's jaws. Worst of all, you know they know you are there. They know you are watching. They know that no amount of pleasure they feel will ever heal your scorched eyes or make this couch look comfortable again. Now, I don't read this one very often because I always yuck it up. And the reason why is because it was structured badly. So I completely restructured it just for you. It's called An American Rant. I never say fuck in a poem, but I'm speaking for the soul of America, and America is dying. It's fucking dying. And that's the second time I've said fuck in this poem. And it's important because the folks who are killing America need to hear it in a way that opens their fucking eyes to something other than their own fragmented piece of shrinking pie, slicing itself up, sliding down the drain like ice cream or whipped cream. And I scream for the deserted, solitary, silent moments we each keep locked up inside our personal prisons, chewing at our inner walls, hoping to shred the divided states of America's imperfect disunity of socioeconomic, racial, class-defining bullshit that's built so one guy in a black Lexus, black because here is where black really matters, can keep a firm grip on the top rung and grant everyone beneath him the freedom to live in his shadow or not, as if all he can think of about is, it's Thanksgiving, the hot water tank has died, and the plumber can't make it because he's spending one of 3 days he takes off each year to be with his own family. And how dare he when company is coming at 2 and the kickoff is at 4. He wants us all high, inebriated, numb to the dumbness that feeds his wealth. But someone's got to take out the trash. Someone has to man the 7-Eleven 24/7 for his convenience, because that must be our top priority, even on the holiest of days. The preacher, he preaches capitalism, rigs the marketplace, dictates the value of other people's lives, blankets himself with a Bible he misinterprets to best suit his needs, but he's too dense to see the subtle irony, the blatant fucking hypocrisy, or is he? Okay, I brought a couple newbies here too, and I seem to have misplaced one. Oh, no. That's my Mr. Bill. My dog has a Mr. Bill. He loves that. This one is called Akin to Zombies. And, you know, I think it's fitting because Pittsburgh is the birthplace of zombieism. I never envisioned myself as witness to a zombie apocalypse, considered it science fiction, the child of someone's bleak imagination. Now I see them everywhere. Driving, walking, planting flowers in the garden. I never thought infection could move so quickly, contaminate so many. But now they stumble down the street waving flags and signs, heads crooked, mouths filled with corrupted gray matter, bloody caps covering derelict brain casings. I never dreamed it could come to this. The undead dead darkening the doorways of pilgrims and free thinkers, waking to the gravelly sound of others being dragged from their homes, their families, leaving only severed limbs to bake in the sun. Who knew the dictates of so few could bury living, working people between the burned-out shells of vacant buildings and heaven's gate? Who still believes the skanky breath of demons on their necks will remind them how far from grace they have fallen?
I'm gonna go. One more?
Okay. Checking in with the boss. It's called Let It Burn, another newbie. It's kind of a strange structure for me. I want to say I feel your pain, but I don't say it because I don't feel it. Then I do say it because that is what you expect from everyone around you. If you know a man will pull the trigger, drop a match in a pool of gas, and you do nothing, doesn't that make you complicit? The rear window of a black Ram truck sports a Punisher skull beside a sticker with two assault rifles crossed that dares anyone to come and take them. You ratchet back the charging handle, feel the rough grip in your palm, the cool trigger against your finger. A man at the corner holds a sign telling me that Jesus saves. Another sign says, repent or burn in hell in rainbow colors. I draw back a flaming arrow, aim at a flag flapping in the wind, let it fly, then acquire the next target. This is actually the last poem in the book, Living in a Red State Blues. And it starts with a rather long, probably illegal, epigraph from Carl Sandburg. You're only allowed to use, you know, so much. It's called A Tinderbox of Unsubtle Discourse. And this is the epigraph. It is the law. As a civilization dies and goes down to eat ashes along with all other dead civilizations, it is the law. All dirty wild dreamers die first. Gag 'em, lock 'em up, get 'em bumped off. And since at the gates of tombs silence is a gift, be silent about it. Yes, be silent. Forget it. There are those who would prefer silence to the sound of the wind in the trees. For them, my voice rustles their peace like a harsh, unwelcome breeze. I am the ghost of a storm they would rather forget, as if they believe a wave of their hand could disperse an approaching hurricane. There's a red sky this morning, red as the hot California hills, and they think they can wish it away with happy thoughts. The wind has had its day, they say. They want to muffle it, muzzle the barking dog that wakes them, shakes them from their comfort zone. I am an inconvenient dog, a crusty leaf skittering down the road, a spark dropped in a dry forest. Pretending won't make me go away. Thank you all.